Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Mike Schaefer.
See, I would argue, because I like to argue.
We all underestimated how hard it is to, one, win college football games, and two, transition and take over a program.
Mike Schaefer.
I was trying to kindly tell Mr. Bishop the Vikings have a chance to surprise some people, and I think that they could even win the division.
Mike Schaefer.
It doesn't seem like the kind of book where they would be hooked on meth. That got dark.
Mike Schaefer.
That's right, everybody. It is Monday, and Monday means we get the chance to talk to 24/7's own Mike J. Schaefer. Schaefe, how are we, brother?
How are you?
You know, my man, I'm all right. I'm fighting through injury. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm battling through this. It's on the downhill slide, I feel. But it's,
you and me both.
But I've had this thing for like 3 weeks. It's terrible.
Yeah, I just started, so I'm on the up. I'm on the climb through it. So.
Okay, you'll appreciate this, but the best remedy thus far I have found: blueberries, number one, anti-inflammatory, keeps the old chest flammed down, and then hot toddies, whiskey and honey. And that's better than anything that I've had. It's better than anything I've had from the store or from a doctor. So there you go. There's Verzal Medicine 101.
I've done the hot like the hot water and honey before in the past. It really does help. I'm basically a really big proponent of just cough drops for the most part, and sleep. Like, I just sleep a lot more when I'm sick. Like, I just don't even. I don't even pretend like I'm going to stay out. I don't pretend like I'm going to stay up. I just take every advantage of sleep that I can.
There is truth. Are you a big night owl? You like a late night guy?
I used to be. This past year, when I kind of got into the fitness thing, I got really good at going to bed at decent times. So anymore, I'm usually asleep by about midnight, if not sooner.
God, I just have such FOMO. I have fear of missing out. I'm up till like 2 a.m. every. Back up at like 6. I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Did I miss something in those 4 hours I slept? And finally, it caught up to me. Caught up to me, and now I'm sick, and I gotta sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that. I used to be able to do that. I used to hate sleeping, as dumb as that sounds, for exactly what you just described. Because it's like, there's probably something going on. I need to know what's going on. You know, nothing in this world should be happening without me knowing about it, kind of thing. Lately, it's just kind of gone the other way, where it's like, eh. The less I know, probably the better. So.
Mike Schaefer joining us here on Game Time. Schaefer, the second recruiting season is over. Now we're on to the classes of 2020. Do you give yourself some time off to just kind of decompress, or do you just hop back in and I'm like, all right, what do we need? Where are we looking at? Where does it go from here?
You kind of just, there's no break anymore. You just jump right into that next class. It used to be, you know, February, you'd finish the class at hand, and then you'd kind of take some time off. And then once spring football started, you start thinking about that next class. I mean, it's no longer that way anymore. It's not that way for the coaches. It's not that way. I mean, they moved into 2020 the day they started in, you know, the end of 2017. So this is a situation where, you know, as coaches, they're always having to work really far ahead. And then with what we're doing as analysts is you're just trying to match whatever they've got going on. So it's, you know, you just kind of find time to take off. I'm going to a bachelor party the end of next week, so it's not like anybody should feel terrible for me. I'm still managing to get out, and I'm going to hopefully find some warm weather in Arizona, go watch some baseball, and all the other things that come along with the bachelor party. So,
where are you heading down to Arizona?
Just Scottsdale.
Okay. So you got tickets for games, or you guys just going to play it by ear?
I'm going to go to the Giants and Rangers that Saturday. And then I think I'm going out a day early because I can. And because why not? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You can get that weather. You might as well do it. So, and then I'm going to go watch the Indians and Diamondbacks play on Thursday.
What's the early outlook for your Indians? They looking all right?
Yeah, they're winning their division because they have the worst division in baseball. They didn't try to get better this offseason, so that's fun. They're going to win a really good rotation. So losing the first round of the playoffs. I have zero excitement for this upcoming season, which is just frustrating because they have a good team, but they didn't try to get better. And I just saw, before I jumped on this show, your Cubs, the owner said, that they don't have any money. They can't sign anyone because they don't have any money. You believe that?
Yeah.
Non-Yankee franchise.
I saw that. I kind of chuckled. I was like, well, okay, let's slow down on this a little bit, boys, because there's the coffers are by no means empty. I'm like, I think you're doing. I've got renovation projects outside of the stadium that look to be doing just fine. There's always people in them every time that I've been up there.
Yeah.
So it's good to see both teams from the 2016 World Series kind of taking the same plan. Like, I think the Cubs added Descalso, and they're just like, yeah, all right, here we go. Let's start the season.
Yeah. The Indians' big offseason signing is a quad A outfielder from Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, Shave, as you look at what Nebraska needs in the 2020 class, you got any position group that you're kind of focusing on where you would like to see them make some moves or you think they have the chance to make some effort in?
In 2020, as they kind of go forward, to me, a lot of it is just about restocking the shelves, I guess. I mean, because you don't know quite what you have with 2019, so I guess you got to go back and you look at those lines. You know, Nebraska has to continue to get better on the line if they're going to do anything in this conference. And so it's all about finding those big guys up front on offense and on defense. And so I think they're going to take another four offensive linemen in the 2020 class. I would imagine they'll take three or four more defensive linemen. Obviously, everybody expects that you're going to say pass rusher, and because that's just something you need every year. And so they've got to go out and, again, try to find some outside linebackers who can really be game changers, I think, for their defense. But to me, it really starts with those two positions. Because I think they've done a nice job of amassing skill position talent. Mm-hmm. And those things will shake out in the way that they will. And they'll have, you know, a few playmakers. And they'll certainly need to replace some people and all of that. But you can never have too many linemen. I mean, I don't know if any football coach in America would ever tell you they have too many offensive linemen that they're comfortable with. So for Nebraska, and I like a lot of their young guys. I like where they're headed. It's just all about stocking it up. You know, you go get the Turner Corcoran and some of these other guys that they like and just keep building on it. I mean, you can just never – if you're in a situation where you have to tell a kid like Turner who's your top offensive target that, hey, man, you may not be able to play this first year. You put yourself in position, mm-hmm. you may play the second year. When's the last time Nebraska's been able to do that with really good offensive linemen?
Hey, man. Amen on that. And I think the number, like the number that comes up that Frost says, you know, I think he wants the roster at 150, right? So even if you have 20 some odd, you know, 30 kids in the offensive line room, a lot of those are going to be walk-ons. But if you can cultivate that where those guys become an older player, you know, where they're going to maybe get a look at some playing time their junior year, they've been through it all. How realistic is it to think that you can have, you know, two starters out of that walk-on crew or that kind of off-the-radar crew, maybe a scholarship kid from the state every year?
I mean, I think it's very, very possible because the whole iron sharpens iron thing, I mean, I really believe in. And then offensive line is kind of where guys around the state are going to have their best shot of playing. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this to be rude, but, I mean, if you're a walk-on wide receiver and you're going to Nebraska – you got to be really something special. You have to do something different that nobody else can do. You kind of have to be Brian Reimers, where you're the one super tall guy. And, like, if you don't have that that sets you apart, you're probably not going to be better than the wide receivers they're bringing in, even if those guys end up as busts.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the offensive line, because they develop maybe a little bit differently, and it has so much to do with, you know, and to me, yes, there's a lot of physical traits that have to be there, but if you get the guy that really busts his butt and puts in the effort, puts in the time and film, puts himself in the right position, I don't think that you have to be the greatest athlete in the world, you know, as an offensive lineman, if you can do all that other stuff and you're still good enough. I mean, I just think that you have a better chance coming out of Nebraska a little bit unheralded to walking on at the program and finding your way to playing with success. I mean, We've seen other guys do it. And really, honestly, Verge, where it comes from, is going to be the guys who have to shift positions from maybe they were a blocking tight end in high school, and now all of a sudden they're a guard at Nebraska. And they have the athleticism of somebody that's played tight end and maybe some footwork of a guy who's 6'4" and had to be a post player in basketball. But now on the offensive line, they're going to be, you know, a guard. And so I think I look at Nebraska and the surrounding area have collections of those kinds of players. We're a good evaluator and being diligent about that, you could pick off some really interesting walk-on guys who grow into being. I'm thinking of the kid from Grand Island. You're a Grand Island guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Have you looked at Herbeck at all?
I've seen
one of my favorite guys out of that class.
Probably haven't seen enough of him.
I think he could be an offensive lineman. I really do.
See, and that creativity is something. Once I had the chance to talk to a couple people up there, and you find that they're so precise down to a measurement. Now it all kind of can make sense. Now you can see when things happen. Hey, we're going to take this guy and move him here. But to me, that is a big piece of the development of that offensive line, because I'm 100% on. When you get that room crowded and you get people that know from the time they step on the field that they're going to have to compete if they want to play right away, it's a different room than everybody else's room, right? It's older, it's grouchier, it's more structured than most. But I just think Nebraska can get back to that piece of taking these guys, as you said, tight ends. Maybe you are a great defensive tackle at your high school team, but you're 6'4", you're going to be a guard in college. So that's something that I'm watching as that develops over these next couple years. And it'll be fun to see how that shakes up, because I think there's a ton of potential, as you said, in this area to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, maybe you're not blessed with the 6'7", everybody knows he's an offensive tackle type, but you find those tweeners that are going to work hard for you. And, I mean, that's what Spencer Long was, and now he's having a nice career in the NFL. I mean, I don't think anybody looked at him in Elkhorn and thought, you know, that guy's going to be an all Big Ten type offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine anybody really thought that, but you have someone with, you know, the mental wherewithal that can go and learn these things and did it really quickly, and then physically has the ability that he can put the weight on, that he has the frame, and is willing to go out and do it. I mean, there's been kids that have gone and left the area to go play other sports or do other things that if they really wanted to and they had the frame and the ability to go be offensive linemen, but then I'm saying this to a guy that was an offensive lineman. There, in weird way, it's like this giant mental bridge for some people to jump through. You know, like,
yeah.
It's hard to go from, well, there's a chance I could get the ball to, you know, my hand's going to be in the ground on every play and I'm going to hit this guy in front of me 60 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that mental hurdle is harder for some guys than others, but the ones that acknowledge it as an opportunity are generally the ones that are going to go have a lot of success.
And the ones that take that and embrace the fact that you can be, at times, offensive line is perceived as reactive, like, all right, I'm going to absorb this hit from the defensive lineman, then I'm going to try to drive him back after he finishes his shot. Well, no. If you get that attack mentality in that, that definitely changes the thing. Shave, something we were talking about earlier on the show, Adrian Martinez is now a 12-1 Heisman deal. I know it's just gambling. I know it's just out there in the air. But I thought about this for a while, and maybe I'm looking into it too far, but if I think any other coaching staff was there at Nebraska, I would be like, oh, man, this is going to be a problem. How are we going to juggle this? You know, it's going to go to the kid's head, da, da, da. But with Frost in there, do you manage expectation differently when you have someone like Scott Frost in there just because of his persona? Like, that expectation, and Adrian Martinez, I think, is a fantastic kid. I think he is very team-oriented. Maybe it's that perfect mix, but a lot of times the head man helps distribute some of this expectation on the team, because there's mounting expectation for this Nebraska team to be a lot better or a lot further advanced than I think even some people that are realistic about it think they can be.
I think in some ways, after a year like Nebraska just had where they went 4-8 and they struggled, but then they had kind of that finish,
mm-hmm.
I think if you're Scott Frost, you lean into the expectation a little bit, right?
Okay.
Like, you want your guys to have the confidence that, look, people are talking about us. We can't fall on our face. We, you know, we have to work hard to make sure that we're even meeting these expectations that are growing. And I think that there's a way that mentally you can build your players up by using those markers and basically getting them to the point where they accept and understand, like, you know, there's a mounting expectation of what we need to do. If we don't move where we are from now to the next check mark, we're not going to meet those expectations, and it could be, you know, we're going to look silly. And so it's a weird motivational factor,
yeah.
I think, that you can play into it. But I think that, and it might just be because that's how I am a little bit, like,
mm-hmm.
I would respond well to that. Like, oh, people expect this. Like, I think there's multiple different ways that people get motivated. You have the people who respond well to high expectations. You have the people who respond well to being, you know, dissed or not expected of. But I think if you're a program that wants to be year in and year out thought highly of, you need to eventually shift the conversation from no one's talking about us to we need to make these expectations stand, and then we have to make them look dumb for not expecting more. Because in your room, you should always expect more than what the outside world thinks, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But that has to be the mentality if you're going to do anything beyond just achieve what is out in front of you.
See,
and so I think that you have to lean into it a little bit as you go through this spring, as you're getting guys mentally ready for what there's going to be a lot of outside attention on Nebraska because of Adrian Martinez, because of where the Vegas line started early, mm-hmm. because of Scott Frost and his success at UCF. So if you're not acknowledging that those expectations are there, I don't know. I feel like that's something you have to lean into.
Do you think you can create that atmosphere in a spring game practice, in a fall camp practice, to figure out? Because that's some people will crumble under that. Some people don't want that pressure. Can you create that so that you know game one, these are the guys that I have that I know that acknowledge this, they respect it, and they want to be a part of proving that we're better than even the expectation says?
I don't know. I mean, I think some of that stems on the players itself, right? Like, I mean, I think it stems on having guys like Mo Berry and Tyron Ferguson who are vocal in their expectations for where they should be, and they get the guys that they need to be held accountable, that they're holding them accountable, that they're getting everybody working towards that they feel and they expect that they should be better than what even people outside the program think. And so every day is an opportunity to meet that level or exceed it. And you have to know, you have to hold it accountable. I mean, we always talk about, you know, like making guys show up to the weight room and everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just being accountable for when you're actually in the moment that you're working as hard as you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the guys like Mo Berry and Ferguson and some of these people I expect to be leaders, but that's where they're going to have to earn that role and earn that expectation in doing some of that. Because your coach can create the challenge,
uh-huh.
and he can, you know, maybe light the fire, but ultimately you're the guy standing in the rep line, and maybe everybody knows whether you're going hard or not, and it's the middle of March, and there's maybe no reason for you to go that hard. Except you know that at some point it's no longer going to be the middle of March, so you might as well just go hard.
And with you going on your journey, you know, there's days when you go to the weight room, you're like, all right, I'm just going to survive today, and I'm going to get on to the next day. But there's other days where you're like, I'm getting in here, I'm going to kill it. And it's when you get those guys in the weight room, like, as a player, I can go to the weight room, but I can get by in the weight room. It's those guys that want to overachieve in those instances is when you know you've got things going in the right direction.
And I think that's part of the culture that they've gone out and tried to recruit a little bit by, you know, you look at the program success of some of the guys they brought in 2019, a lot of people played for state titles. So I think they want that to be the expectation that you're not just there to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Because really a lot of Nebraska football in the last decade has just been a lot of maintaining and slipping. And I mean, I think you really kind of hit on it. You want those guys that go in and they want to work hard and they want to put it together, but a coach can't do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be a mentality that they have as players.
Yeah, it definitely will be. Shafe, so enough football. We're heading down to AZ. We're going to watch a little baseball. You playing any golf down there? Are you a golfer?
No. We're going to do Top Golf.
Oh, nice.
Not enough guys, I think, in the bachelor party really want to spend the money to go play. And then you only have a finite amount of time. So for me, like investing the 6 hours or whatever for 18 holes or however many people, probably not exactly how I'd want to do it, but I'm ready for, you know, the snow to stop because I'd like to get out and play around here too. But
yeah, fair. Top Golf, and you got food and booze there, so I mean, what could go wrong there?
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be a nice little siesta, and then I come back that Sunday. The next day, spring football starts, so I timed it out. It's perfect.
Just good, clean living, folks. Mike J. Schaefer. Schaefer, thank you so much, buddy, for taking some time today.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it. Have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your show.
See you, bud. Mike Schaefer. I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind going down to AZ. A little baseball, a little golf. Well, I haven't swung a golf club in probably a year and a half. Jeez. I keep owning restaurants. Just take all your time up. Forget what my golf clubs look like. Oh, two down, one to go. We'll return here after the break with more Game Time 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and the 1620 The Zone app.